is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
That game is just not the priority.
How we play in that game is, when it comes to what we do, but I can't waste 1 minute trying to prepare for Dallas when we got the Spurs, in our sights.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was the voice of David Fizdale welcoming you to this edition of Locked On Grizzlies for Wednesday, the final regular season game. It doesn't matter, but it is the final one. We will discuss it a little bit, but really, we're going to start turning the page here on the pod, just like the Grizzlies have kind of started to turn the page as a team towards the playoffs, which will start this weekend. Welcome in, by the way. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you for being with us throughout the entire regular season. And now, as we are heading to the conclusion of the season, you know, this is the time of year when we've talked about it this week. It's kind of, you really want to go ahead and turn the page to the playoffs. You know, these games, unless you are one of the teams that's still very much involved in seeding or at the bottom of the Eastern Conference where there's still some question about who's actually going to be in the playoffs, those games matter a great deal. These do not. The Grizzlies and the Spurs are going to play, and doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter, you know, any of the outcomes and all that. You just don't want anybody to get hurt. And the Mavericks, when they come in tonight, they've already, you know, they had their fun last night with Tony Romo. Their season is over. Dirk is not even with them here in Memphis. So it's, you know, it's a kind of a perfunctory occasion, fan appreciation night down at the Forum. I'll tell you this, we're going to talk a little bit about the Grizzlies MVP this year. And according to this podcast, there's really only one choice for that. We'll talk about that here momentarily and start to get you set for what you will see tonight and also what you're going to see in the playoffs. But I want to say a big thank you to our friends at Grizz Essentials who helped bring you this podcast, grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. You got to get geared up for the playoffs, people. Come on, man. It's the playoffs. Get yourself geared up. Get ready. It's not too late. Go to grizzessentials.com right now. GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies and let Mark and Courtney know you came from the pod. Let them know that you want to get started with a great box every month of all the coolest, most fresh, most fantastic, most innovative, local, different Grizz gear that's going to get you looking fantastic. And make sure you tell them that you came from listening here to the podcast, because if you use the promo code PLAYOFFS, you can only hear it right here on the podcast. That promo code is PLAYOFFS. You're going to get your first month free. So it works for you, works for them, it works for me. It's a great deal all the way around. Check it out, grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Awesome people. Love them and appreciate so much their support of the pod as we continue here this season. Now, this season is about to come to an end, and as I mentioned, with the game against the Mavericks tonight. The Mavericks lost last night to Denver. Didn't really matter. It was their final home game of the year, and they celebrated by honoring Tony Romo. Actually, you know, it's weird that the Mavericks honored Tony Romo in a much more respectful fashion than the Cowboys did, but that's neither here nor there. It was actually kind of cool to see the occasion, and I don't know that there's any equivalent in Memphis that the Grizzlies could do, or would have any kind of athlete. I don't know that anyone else, you know, is anywhere close to like Romo for the Cowboys. But the Romo could actually play a little bit based on the warmups and the shots, the shoot around, the video. If you watched any of that stuff, the dude actually looks like he could play a little basketball. He could certainly be a good church league player. He's got a good-looking shot. I mean, he didn't look completely out of place out there, so that was cool. Now, you know, fans, I think, thought he was actually going to get in the game, but he was not signed to a real deal. So he wasn't actually part of the team. He could not have actually gotten into the game. I know the very end, Rick Carlisle kind of grabbed him and faked like he was going to go into the game. He couldn't. I think the fans really wanted it. He could not. That would have violated the whole collective bargaining agreement. It would have invalidated the game. Not that that game needed much validation one way or the other, but it was not going to happen. Before you ask, Tony Romo is not making the trip. He, like Dirk, is going to stay in Dallas for this one. So if you're wanting some kind of freak show value for the game tonight, I'm afraid I can offer you very little of that. This will be a going through the motions type occasion, I would imagine, for Dallas. Let the young players play a fair bit, continue their season to try to find something, finish off whatever they're going to finish off. And for the Grizzlies, it's as you heard David Fizdale at the beginning of the show. I mean, this is strictly about preparing for the Spurs. Yeah, I talked to Mike Conley on Sunday night about kind of how you do this. And it's really, he said, it's just, you just have to trick yourself. It's a mind game. You just trick yourself into, you know, believing that the game is more important than it is so that you don't get out there and, not give full effort. You know, it's going to be another one of those short minute nights for the starters. You're not going to see, you may see another like kind of first half where they actually go through and do normal stuff. And then from there, you'll see a lot more of Deontay Davis and Wade Baldwin and Jarrell Martin and everyone else that's going to be out there, Wayne Selden. And some of those guys, may have to play a role in the postseason. You know, we can get more into that as the week goes on. But some of those guys, Selden in particular, is probably going to have to play some minutes here or there. I don't anticipate too much from Baldwin. I don't anticipate too much from Deontay Davis. But, Selden, there's a possibility that he could have to soak up some of those minutes depending on how things go at the wing spot. And it's kind of like what the Rockets are doing with Troy Williams. You know, they lost Sam Decker, and there's a lot of talk that Troy Williams is going to take those minutes that Decker would have taken. Sometimes you have to play the rookies. Sometimes you have to play those young guys. It's a shame for the Grizzlies that Troy Williams isn't on the roster to take those minutes for the Grizzlies, but, such is life. That's kind of the way that it goes. So I think it's pretty clear that this podcast, and probably most other Grizzly observers that are out there, will say that the most valuable player of the Grizzlies season is Mike Conley. There's no question that that's the case. It's been a season where you could talk about expectations and how did the Grizzlies with the win totals relative to what you expected. The whole Chandler Parsons thing, when we start to do the post-mortem on the season, the Chandler Parsons thing was the thing that really limited what the Grizzlies could do this year, because you take that guy that had they had huge plans for what they were going to do with him and what kind of part of the offense he was going to be and all this. And you take him out of the mix, and that's a huge limiting factor on what you can do. The fact that Marc Gasol played and was healthy for the entire season was remarkable and incredible and really miraculous in many, many ways. But Marc was not the most valuable Grizzly this year. Far from it, in fact. With a bit of a up and down defensive year and kind of an up and down offensive year in some respects. It was a year where Mark showed great offensive growth and versatility, but also some frustration, particularly on the defensive end. So it's hard for me to characterize Mark as the MVP. He can be. He's probably still the most overall talented player, but Mike Conley was the guy that brought it pretty much night in and night out for the Grizzlies. And if you look at the way that he has increased his offense almost across the board, while also increasing the amount that he is being relied upon, usage, all those sorts of things, it's pretty impressive. And I asked Mike Conley if he thought that he would be able to handle the increase in workload and be as good as he has been this year.
You know, honestly, I didn't really know because I had never had the opportunity to be this free before and opportunities to shoot the ball like that. But I always knew I was a great shooter and that I could, you know, knock it down when I'm open and different things like that. So I knew that this repetition, you know, more opportunities and learning, you know, from day one of this season to now, defenses have played me differently each month. I get trapped differently, or somebody, you know, they have taller guys on me and more hands in the face when you shoot, and getting fouled a lot more on shots. I mean, all that stuff I had to learn this season, and how to continue to stay focused on making shots.
Well, if you look at the numbers that Mike's put up compared to seasons past, it's pretty extraordinary. He is sporting his best offensive rating of his career, and it's 108.5, which is a full point or so ahead of anything that he's done in the past, and those were on teams that were more focused on the offensive side, some of the early years of his career, and didn't really win a lot and weren't, you know, really about the overall game that he's showing now. He is sporting a career high in field goal percentage at 46%, on a career high in field goals made and attempted. So he has bumped up all that production, but also bumped up his efficiency on top of it. He's also got a career high in three-point percentage at 40.7% this year, with a massive increase in three-point shots. So he is making a full three-pointer more per game than his previous career high, which is huge. It was one and a half threes per game in the 2014-15 season. That's his previous career high. He's been at 1.4 or 1.3 for the last 4 years. He's gone up to 2.5 now this year. Huge jump. I mean, that represents, about a 66% jump, 70% jump overall. And then in the attempts, same thing. You know, he averaged at most four attempts a game in any one season in his career. Now he's up past six per game, and yet the percentage is at a career high. Just shows an incredible growth. Free throws, same deal. He is making more than he's ever made in any point in his career, and taking more than he's ever taken at any point in his career. And he's got a free throw percentage that is right in line with his best season ever at 86%. Obviously, scoring, he has clinched the fact that he will average 20 points a game for the first time in his career. His previous career high was three seasons ago at 17.2 points per game. He will be well past that, somewhere around 20.5 when it's all said and done. And he's doing all of this while also getting a career high in rebounds. Really, you go up and down the list, and it's just unbelievable what the guy is doing. And, you know, it required a lot of things, and you'll hear Mike talk a lot about this in this upcoming clip. It's more than just, you know, being better at actually making the shots and changing form or anything like that. It's about the mindset of being aggressive on offense, and also just changing his own mentality of how he played the game.
From the beginning of the year, I think it was more how can we get me into open space, into opportunities to make plays for our team. And you know, me off the ball really has helped, I think, a lot for our team, just having a guy that can come off and score but then make plays for guys at the same time. And I think we've learned a lot from it. I think we've had our ups and downs with it, but, you know, ultimately I think it's been a success. Mindset change was the hardest part for me, because I'm a guy that's not used to shooting in volume, and still even today, like, I catch myself if I've missed two in a row, I'm like, okay, I gotta pass, I gotta make sure somebody else gets a shot. Or even if I make two in a row, I'm like, all right, I've shot too much, I need to get to somebody else. But, you know, lately I've seen the benefits of when I'm aggressive and when I got it going, to keep going, and how my team feeds off that. So I've had to really kind of, you know, tweak my mind a little bit and turn into a different person, you know, per se, when I play now than, you know, how I was in the past.
We'll talk more about it as the week goes on, but there's no question that Mike is now a targeted guy, that he is now a huge scoring threat, that he's the guy that's going to carry a big scoring load for the Grizzlies in this series, that he will get the attention of Kawhi Leonard sooner rather than later. Yeah, I talked to Mike a little bit about that as well, and he reminded me that he's had long-arm guys and talented defenders, including Kawhi, guard him in the past, that it's not anything that he doesn't expect, and he's ready to go with it. But he's going to take that, and he's going to have to score in big bunches for the Grizzlies to hang in there and to have a chance in this series. So that's a different kind of pressure than the one that Mike has had in seasons past. He's had the pressure of performing injured. He's had the pressure of coming out there and in trying to duel with some of the best point guards, and he hasn't always been healthy. He's now at his healthiest point, probably maybe ever, going into this stage of the postseason. But he's going to have to do things differently. He will have to be that focal point. And considering what he's done this year, and he's shooting almost 50% from the field since the All-Star break, I think he's ready for it. I think he's ready for that, but that is something that he's going to have to deal with. But I do want to congratulate Mike Conley because he is going to take home the Locked On Grizzlies Most Valuable Player Award, which is a tremendous honor. It's got a story tradition. I will make sure that Mike gets that trophy that we will have made up, especially for him. I think that's something that you'll probably see. I imagine you'll see it all over social media, I'm sure. And he wins that award, and I think very deserving. Now let's see what he does with that going into the postseason. That boost of confidence alone at being honored by this podcast should probably propel him to an even higher level, I would imagine. Now the Grizzlies will play, as I mentioned, this final game tonight against the Mavericks, the outcome of which is not in doubt. But what I think you will see, in addition to the starters kind of honing out a few little things, and I can tell you that today at practice, or yesterday, I should say, at practice, the focus was pretty much entirely on the Spurs and on getting sets and things ready for them, starting to study tendencies that the Spurs will have. All those things are really what the focus is for the series and for the Grizzlies' mindset. So the Mavs don't really enter into the equation at all. But if you want to look for something positive to come out of this thing, or something that might be worthwhile out of the game specifically tonight, then I think you have to look at the young guys, and you have to look and see if you can develop some chemistry with those guys. And you have to start to see what they can give you. And you'd like to see Deontay Davis and Wade Baldwin start to show a little bit more. The expectation level should be fairly low, especially for Baldwin, considering the season that he's had. But you would like to see little shoots of progress, a little bit of growth, in a smaller way, like what we saw, what you've seen from Scalabissier over in Sacramento, who has shown in the last month or so that there's something there. Don't know exactly what, but something. There's something there. That's what you want to see in these moments. I think you've seen a little bit of that with Deontay Davis, a little bit. I think Baldwin, the game is still going really, really quickly, for him. But those are the things that you want to hang on to. You almost had a dunk of the year from Wayne Selden in the Pistons game on Sunday. You'd like to see a little more of that kind of stuff. And then for the fans, you get the raffle at the end of the game with the jersey off the back and all of that stuff. It's fan appreciation night. Grizzly fans will appreciate this. This will be the last regular season game with the normal scoreboard configuration, and they'll have whatever postseason games, but soon enough there'll be the upgraded scoreboard and all kinds of different upgrades. So they'll continue to turn the page and grow the forum and grow that whole thing. So these are all just the little things that you have to look forward to in what is otherwise pretty much a meaningless game going forward. you really want to focus on the Spurs and focus on everything that they can do and that you're going to have to do to stop them. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.